Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk about how many of us are caring for older adults, our parents or grandparents, our family members, and often we find ourselves confronted with behavioral issues that we're not quite sure about how to deal with. What are some of the mental health issues for older adults? We are, most of us, aware of Alzheimer's and dementia, but what about other mental health issues that are problematic for seniors? And how do we recognize them? How do we know when it is time to seek professional help? My guest this evening is Dr. Muhammad Ali Rifai, who is the director of the Older Adults Behavioral Health Unit at Eastern Hospital. Dr. Rifai is an American-Syrian physician who obtained his medical training at the University of Virginia in internal medicine and psychiatry. He is a recipient of a National Research Service Award to study neurosciences, and he worked at the prestigious National Institute of Health Clinical Center at Bethesda, Maryland, as a clinical staff fellow. Dr. Rifai has been board certified in internal medicine, psychiatry, psychosomatic medicine, addiction medicine, and medical management. Tonight, we talk about senior mental health issues, how to recognize them, when to seek outside help. Welcome, Dr. Muhammad Ali Rifai, Director of the Older Adults Behavioral Health Unit at Eastern Hospital, to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome.
Thank you, Eleanor. It is a pleasure. Thank you, WDIY, for hosting me to talk about issues that are affecting the elderly population, including mental health issues, as well as issues with cognition, memory, and behavioral issues that affect individuals who have neurocognitive disorders.
Now, most of us are familiar with the term Alzheimer dementia, but how do we, some of us, you know, we really love our loved ones. I have a dear friend whose husband was a professional person all his life, and but he's now become more and more dependent. Sometimes if she takes him to a strange house, he'll wander outside, and recently we had to call the police to find out where he was. But you know, he ended up somehow, or rather, he ended up in the car, and he took himself back home to where he lived. But how do we recognize when it's the problems that our loved ones are facing?
In the past, we used to use the term dementia and Alzheimer's disease interchangeably. As science progressed, we recognized that there are multiple diseases that can cause cognitive issues. And over the past 10 years, we've been using the term neurocognitive disorder to indicate any issues with memory or cognition impairment that would affect the elderly. And that would include Alzheimer's disease, that would include vascular brain disease, that would include a rarer disease called Lewy body dementia, and that would include other diseases that affect the brain and causes issues with cognition and memory.
Well, how would we know about vascular disease and how that affects the ability, the mental processes in the brain?
That requires the interaction with a physician, a primary care physician, and or a psychiatrist or a neurologist to diagnose how vascular disease, such as high blood pressure, such as diabetes, such as heart disease, which are all diseases that affect the blood vessels. And as you know, the brain is an organ that is supplied with blood supply. And sometimes these blood vessels are affected by vascular disease, such as diabetes or high blood pressure, leading to decreased blood supply to the brain and causing dysfunction of the brain, manifesting, as we see, with issues with cognition, behavior, memory impairment, and sometimes depression and anxiety.
And the question is how, so what you're saying is that so many of these illnesses are really preceded by vascular dysfunctioning. Is that correct?
Some of them are related to genetics, such as Alzheimer's disease, which happens in the absence of vascular disease. So some of it is genetic, some of it is environmental, and some of it is related to other diseases also.
So how do we differentiate, and how do we recognize what is a problem we can really deal with effectively at home, mm-hmm. and when do we know that, you know, this is beyond, we really have to seek some medical attention, psychiatric intervention? How do we make that decision?
As individuals in the United States age, we have recognized that they have to pay close attention to the health of their brain. The brain is a very important organ, and paying attention to nutrition, paying attention to good supply with vitamins such as vitamin B, vitamin D, vitamin C, as well as handling any diseases that individuals may have, such as high blood pressure, making sure that diabetes is well controlled, and making sure that heart disease is well controlled. We've recognized and realized through research that if these illnesses are well controlled and well taken care of, there is less possibility of these diseases affecting the brain and causing the development of neurocognitive disorder or dementia in the future.
Well, I'd like to hope so. And the next question is, how do we recognize a neurocognitive disorder, which really is beyond our ability to help? When do we recognize that we need to consult a psychiatrist? And what kinds of problems do you deal with in the Eastern older psychiatric unit?
Very interesting research is being conducted as we speak to give us insights into how do we predict who will develop dementia in the future. Looking at somebody who's between the age of 65 and 70, how do we predict who will develop dementia? There is a lot of ongoing research. So, example, there are some early findings that individuals whose eyesight or smell, the sense of smell, is affected, that is an indicator of the beginnings of dementia. And by smell, I mean is the decreased ability to differentiate between different smells. And there are tests that could be administered to individuals, and that shows that if they're less able to recognize different smells, that means that their brain is undergoing the changes that are indicative of dementia or cognitive issues.
Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Barbro. And this evening, we're talking with Dr. Muhammad Ali Rifai, who is the director of the Older Adults Behavioral Health Unit at Eastern Hospital. And he's been practicing in the Greater Lehigh Valley for several years. Now, we're just delighted that, first of all, that we have this referral basis to help us out if we have or feel that we really need help with people that were older adults that we're taking care of. Now, but the question, you also mentioned genetics, but is genetics something that we can deal with? I mean, in other words, prevent?
There is some research that if we identify the genetics that predispose people to Alzheimer's disease, there may be some steps that we can take to at least retard the progression of the dementia process that is influenced or that is affected with genetics. with maintaining blood pressure, with maintaining diabetes, and with taking care of good vitamin supply. There's also some medications that have been shown to slow down the progression of neurocognitive issues. Loved ones that have neurocognitive issues will manifest with issues with memory. They cannot focus. They forget things. And this is more than the normal forgetfulness that individuals have as they age.
So you mean if I walk into the kitchen and I open the refrigerator and I forget what I was looking for, that's not a sign?
that is not a sign. Usually individuals will forget more important things.
Such as?
Such as important functions, such as important dates, such as, for example, one of my patients that I've seen a few weeks ago forgot that he paid his electric bill, so he paid the electric bill twice. So issues that are important in terms of cognition and executive functioning are forgotten. People are not able to focus. Their sleep pattern is affected, and they gradually start to lose touch with reality and lose interest with the outside world.
I see. So one of the things that we want to talk about is what kinds of patients do you see at the Eastern Hospital Center for older adults?
The Older Adult Behavioral Health Unit at Eastern Hospital has been open since 2015. We take individuals who are above the age of 50, who suffer from psychiatric illnesses, as well as individuals who have neurocognitive disorders, dementia, as well as behavioral problems. We are in Easton, and we are available to take referrals if someone is worried about their loved one and that they're having any behavioral issues or they have memory issues. We're always happy to take referral. People can call the unit at 610-250-4708.
And in the next half of the program, I want to talk about what are the specific behaviors that we see, and when do we know that we, as caring providers of our loved ones, when are we able to know that we've gone about as far as we can to helping our loved ones when we return to take charge of your life on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking about mental health issues in older adults. And my guest this evening is Dr. Muhammad Ali Rifai, who is the director of the Older Adults Behavioral Unit at Eastern Hospital. And he's been practicing in the Greater Lehigh Valley for several years. And in the first part, we were talking about kinds of issues that we may be facing as caring adults for our loved ones. And what I'd like to talk about is what are the steps that we need to follow to make sure that our loved one is, number one, getting the proper help? And do we go to a family physician first? Do we seek psychiatric help? What are the steps to get our loved ones the proper help?
Thank you, Eleanor. I'll give you the story of a patient that I took care of a few weeks ago. This lady was in her late 70s. She had problems with depression and anxiety, and her family were really worried about her. So they did an intervention. She did not want to come to the doctor. Her problem with depression and anxiety was so severe that it progressed to the degree that she couldn't swallow her food. The family decided to bring her to the emergency room at Easton Hospital, where she was evaluated and admitted to our older adult behavioral unit because of her symptoms of depression and anxiety. We did consult the medical doctors to make sure that there were no medical issues with the difficulty with swallowing. They did indicate that it was only related to depression and anxiety. We treated her with medications to help her depression and anxiety. She did talk to a therapist. Within few days, her symptoms started to get better. She was less anxious, her mood was better, and her swallowing issue started to disappear. I did see her a few weeks ago after she was discharged from the hospital. She was in the hospital for about 10 days, and her mood is much, much better. She's less anxious, and her swallowing issue completely resolved. And she will continue to follow with me to ensure that this problem does not occur again.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, so she started with the emergency room.
Yes.
And the next question is, how is this paid for? Is this paid for by, she's in her 70s, so Medicare, and how much of this is paid for by Medicare and or is it private?
Medicare and secondary insurances will completely pay for the stay at Easton Hospital. And individuals usually do not have to pay any out-of-pocket unless they have any deductibles that they have to meet. So the stay is completely paid by the insurance because it's medically necessary.
Now, here was a case of an example of a woman who was thankfully able to be recommended. She could go back home, and she had some very good attention at Easton Hospital. What about those people who may not be able to go back home? What happens there, and how do we proceed there? Because most of us want to take care of our loved ones for as long as we possibly can, no matter what, until we reach a point where we say we just can't do it anymore.
A few months ago, we had the case of somebody from the community that was admitted to our behavioral health unit. He was having behavioral problems. He would get upset when his family would try to take care of him. He would become violent toward his family. The family was really loving and caring and insisted on taking care of him at home.
How old was he?
He was in his late 70s. He had neurocognitive disorder. He had dementia, and he had a family history of dementia. So we were dealing with somebody who developed dementia related to genetics. We did put him on medications that would help control his mood and control his anxiety and control his agitation. And the family did try to keep him at home. So we discharged him from the hospital to home with the family.
After how many days of being at
home? He was in the hospital for about 10 days.
10 days.
He was discharged home, and the family really tried hard to keep him at home. Within about another 10 days, he came back to the hospital because the family was not able to keep him at home. The family had a meeting with everybody on the unit and with our social workers, and they made the heart-wrenching decision to place him at a nursing home, and Graysdale Nursing Home in Northampton County accepted him. And they were able to work with him to manage his behavior. And he's been doing well at the local nursing home.
So, but he will be staying at the nursing home.
He will be staying at the nursing home.
And now, and the next question I have to ask again, repeat it though I may, is who pays for that?
Part of the stay initially is paid by Medicare.
But and you then mentioned initially.
Initially, for the initial period as the person kind of settles into the nursing home.
Right.
If they have no further financial resources, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, through the Medicaid program, will pay for their stay.
Well, that's important to know. That is important to know. So so we've talked about a couple of cases. What about the kinds of cases that come in who may not have cognitive impairment? What other cases do you find yourself dealing with at the unit for older adults?
We deal with adults who are in their 50s and 60s who suffer with depression and anxiety and who are coming into the hospital because their symptoms are so severe that they're having thoughts about ending their life, and they need a safe environment to be in while their depression and anxiety are being treated to ensure that they stay safe while we treat their depression and anxiety, and then we would be able to discharge them to be cared for out in the community by an outpatient doctor or an outpatient psychiatrist.
Do you find that there is much depression, you know, you said 50 and older, is that right?
Yes.
One of the things in our society today that is really difficult for, I consider 50 and older quite young, as a matter of fact, but 50 and older really suffer from the fact of anxiety or worry about their jobs. Number one, if they have been in a position for a long period of time, some companies, not all, but there are many companies who discharge or find reasons for finding a way to end people who are in their 50s because they don't want to deal with the pensions and all the all of that monetary things. And do you find many patients who are in the Eastern Hospital Behavioral Unit for older adults who are in their 50s who are suffering from depression because of their lack of job or ability to find a job? Do you find that?
That is a common group of individuals that do come to our inpatient unit where they develop depression and anxiety after a job loss or a major loss in their life. We work with them through medications. We work with them through therapy to return them as much as possible to being a functional member of society and being able to return to the workforce. And we also work with the local resources to ensure that they have referrals, for example, for job retraining if they need that through the local Northampton County, or that they receive as much resources as possible in terms of therapy and medication management to ensure that they're able to lead a functional life and they're able to return to work after their admission.
Well, I think that's very important to know that you connect with other resources in the community to help them return to a position and get retraining if that's going to be helpful. So it's not only about only about relieving the anxiety, but in helping them to reintegrate into the workforce if that's possible and reintegrate into society. That's really very helpful.
And that's our purpose in terms of our treatment. We may admit individuals who are quite functional, who are in the hospital because of depression or anxiety. We may admit individuals who have cognitive issues and dementia. Our purpose is to return them to health, brain health, return them to being as much as a functional individual out in society, whether they're at home with their loved one, if they have neurocognitive issues, or whether they want to return back to the workforce while we help them get treatment for their depression and anxiety.
You also help the families who are dealing with letting go of their loved ones. That's a very important issue. For example, I know of a wonderful couple. They've raised a family together, and she now feels compelled to be by his side, but it's a 24-hour thing because he wants to get dressed by himself, but he can't get dressed or doesn't get dressed till 7 o'clock in the evening. His time is distorted. It's very difficult. What I'm asking is, when do we as loved ones know when we have reached our limit and when we have to make a decision to let go? And that's very difficult.
People sometimes are afraid to ask for help. It is very important for families who have a loved one who's suffering with cognitive issues to seek help. They should seek help through the Northampton County Office of Aging that can provide them resources. If the loved one is having behavioral issues, they can seek resources through our Older Adult Behavioral Health Unit, and we can direct them through different resources that are available through Northampton County, or whether their loved one need to be admitted to the hospital. Families of loved ones who have problems with cognition or behavioral issues can always call our Behavioral Health Unit at 610-250-4708. There's also a lot of resources out on the internet. The Alzheimer Foundation has a very nice website that people can tap into. If people want to place their loved one into an assisted living facility, they're no longer able to manage them at home. There are a lot of organizations that can assist with that, and some of those resources are available through the Office of Aging through Northampton County.
And when you say assist, are you talking about financial assistance as well?
I'm talking mostly about the process of placing somebody. There is certainly financial assistance available if they have no financial resources through the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and the Medicaid program.
And when this is occurring, is this done with the family together, or is it just with the individual?
This is always done with the input of the family. The family always has input into the decision to place somebody in an assisted living facility or in a nursing home. The family is always involved because we believe the effect and the influence of the family is very, very important. A few weeks ago, I had an individual who would have behavioral problems and would sometimes we need his family to come in to calm him down as he felt a sense of relief when he would see and interact with his family.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Muhammad Ali Rifai, Director of the Older Adults Behavioral Health Unit at Easton Hospital, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that, number one, there is a resource at Easton Hospital for those families dealing with older adults, and that understanding some signals that our beloved seniors might need more help that we can provide. And if you have any questions, you may contact Dr. Rifai at Easton Hospital at
610-250-4708.
And you may contact him at his private practice at
610-253-2500.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.